broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
All right, there it is, Jack. Thank you very much. This is the initial, or I don't know, first of...
Inaugural.
Inaugural. That's the word. See, I'm usually catching Flash on her words, but this is the inaugural Andrew Does Flash Talks Cash. Thank you. Guys, like I said, I'm a little nervous. I've never headlined this show, so this is a... Bear with me, and please do chime in whenever you can. We're broadcasting live from Roberta's Restaurant. Yes. Flash Talks Cash every Thursday, 4:30 to 5. If you can't listen live, you can download a podcast on iTunes, or it is archived on the website. I have Carlos and my boy Jack Inslee in the booth.
There you go.
I'm trying to remember. This is off the top of my head. Joanne has it written down. I thought it was pretty good. If you have questions, you can give us a call. The phone number is 718-497-2128. The number again is 497-2128.
And, you got it, man. That's it.
Emailing questions, info@heritageradionetwork.com. Today, we're going to talk about Occupy Wall Street, how that leads to arrests, the legal system. Also, one note was the Bank of America charges this week that they were trying to initiate a $5 charge for using their ATMs or anyone else's ATMs, how that was quickly crushed by the sentiment of the people saying... Yeah. We're not doing that. And I think that just speaks volumes for what the voice can do and volume of what Occupy Wall Street is trying to get done.
I have a question because I'm unclear about this. Because I heard Citibank is supposedly charging a monthly fee as well.
Oh, no, this is just on ATM charges. Was it not? I thought it was on specific ATM charges.
The Bank of America thing was, yeah. But then Citibank announced they were doing some kind of $15 a month thing. Now, did they reverse that, or are they going through
it? I did not hear about that, but I know a lot of banks do, no matter what. If you have, they have the minimum balances, minimum transactions, stuff like that, where they can charge you up to like $15 or $20. I know on my Chase, it's if I don't use direct deposit or something, I get charged $6 a month. You know, each bank has its own variations, but like this high ATM charge is just something that is egregious. And like at that point, you're getting charged on both ends, usually $250 to take the money out, and then $5 by your bank or vice versa. And it's just egregious at this point. The banks should learn that this is a bad PR move. You really need to like step your shit up, people. People are not happy with you at this point. And to do this at this time is just, you know, you guys are making enough money hand over fist. And to just try to gouge the people even more is just not a good move. And I'm glad that they took it out and the people were heard. Next up, I want to talk about Oakland.
What happened?
Again, there were arrests yesterday. There was some splinter groups off of the larger group that took to the streets. They occupied some random buildings that were vacant. They then got into a fight with the police. There was stone throwing, things like that. Then the tear gas was launched at them. You know, I understand the police have to try to keep order, and these folks, some people do lead parts of the group astray, and these clashes will occur. I'm not for the violence that is going on. I really appreciate what they did, actually, with shutting down the Oakland Marina terminal.
Yeah, it was totally shut down.
It was shut down yesterday, last night, about 7 o'clock. That is amazing. I would love to see how much money was lost because of that and how this is going to affect these businesses. And I think it's a fantastic thing.
Do you think we can do something like that in New York? Anything remotely close?
I don't think we're as big on the import-export as they are. Maybe New Jersey. But even still, I heard about 40 out of 250 employees didn't show up for work as well. They were trying to do a citywide strike of workers. I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing to actually be able to shut down a large industrial slash commercial area like that and actually be felt and do it in a nonviolent, positive way where you're actually getting the voice out. And to then follow it up with this kind of outbreak is just, it takes away from the message you're trying to get out there. And I understand like people are angry and upset. And to do stuff like that, it's not the best way to go about it. And to it just adds a negative light to what was a positive day for us, for the movement, us, I'm including myself. I told you I wanted to be an activist. You know, Joanne is now an activist and I'm trying to get on board. She's not letting me. And I think this is my call out. I'm like, yo, guys, call in. I want to be involved more. I guess that's the opposite of activist if I'm waiting for someone to call me and say, hey, you should join. But I really do think that what they're doing is great. Also in the news with the Occupy Wall Street was today I heard that the protesters who were arrested at the Union Square March about a month ago did not take the plea agreement that the DA is offering to them. I really applaud them. I think it's amazing. It's just a tough undertaking.
So wait, what does that mean exactly? So they got arrested.
Well, they got arrested for trespassing or disorderly conduct or something. And then, you know, when you get arrested, you go through the process, you have a date, and then they offer you a plea. What they offered them was 6 months probation, which is an ACD, adjudication conditional of something, dismissal, something like that, where you don't get in trouble for 6 months, you're good to go, and your record's expunged, supposedly, yada, yada, yada. And they were like, no, we're not taking that. This is just ridiculous. We're falsely arrested, yada, yada, yada. I know the speech. The problem is, I don't know how many specific individuals were arrested, if they're going to put this together as one trial, but the amount of time, manpower, the money they're paying out of their pockets, the amount of money that's costing the city, which then in turn comes out of our pockets as well to litigate the case for something so minimal that it just upsets me that the current legal system is set up in this way where cops just arrest people, they put them in jail, they come up with something ridiculous and mundane to fill their quotas, and then it's then a burden on the city, the individuals, the state, to pay the taxes to support this actual litigation and the process that occurs. To arrest somebody for criminal trespassing or disorderly conduct, that person's then put in jail for 24 to 72 hours, supposedly, is what the law is. I'm not exactly sure. But to house these people for these minimal crimes and then to go through the process that these folks are going to take it to, which I respect. I really do. I think it's great that they're going to go through the process and say, we were wrongfully arrested. This is a bogus charge. These police are just out of control doing whatever they want to do. I like it, but at the same time, it's just a burden on the system. I'm not blaming the people. I'm blaming the police. I'm blaming the system itself. It's expensive. There are 35,000 police officers in the city. They're all given their quotas, whatever they are, for their arrest for the month that they have to fill. Then that then entails they arrest people, they go through the process, which is exorbitantly expensive as it is because there's tons of lawyers everywhere. There's defense lawyers, there's prosecutors, I have some good friends at Legal Aid who we were talking about this last night about how they go through the process with all these poor folks who don't have the funds to, you know, afford a lawyer. And in most cases, these things are just brushed over. They offer these ACDs or they offer fines or they offer whatever it is. But the bogging down of the system with these charges in the first place is just so expensive. And the fact that there are so many cops that have to fill these quotas, that have to make the arrests, who are then getting overtime to fill out the paperwork to put them into this process, it's just burden. It's a burden on the whole system to have this way. You know, 35,000 police officers. You know how many cops that is? That's like at Occupy Wall Street, there's about one cop for every protester at this point, or occupier. That seems a little egregious. That seems ridiculous. I don't understand why there needs to be one-to-one ratio where it's a very peaceful, nonviolent, you know, everyone just comes and goes. There is no real unrest. There shouldn't be that much presence there. The amount of money that we're probably spending on overtime, which then trickles down to the city residents who have to pay the taxes, it's just ridiculous. And the burden that it places on the individual who is already, we're in probably the most expensive city in the country. Most municipalities don't even have a local tax, whereas New York City does. And then we have a state tax and a federal tax. We're taxed a lot here already. And to then have this excessive amount of arrests, then pay, then the money that it entails is just, it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart at this point to, because the process itself is awful for the people who are involved. The people who are getting arrested, the whole arrest process is awful. It's very traumatic. It's very emotional. It's not a good situation.
And you would think it's only going to get worse, though, as the protests grow.
Of course. Well, the arrests are going to go up as the people are put next to each other for a longer period of time. We've talked about this in the previous weeks. I have this worry that as these people rub each other the wrong way, it's like the guy who has a tree hanging over his neighbor's yard. Like, that guy is okay in the beginning. Like, can you trim your tree? Can you trim your tree? He trims it a little bit, but not all the way. So now, and then you push your boundaries. Like, how much do I have to trim it? How much do I have to do to get by without upsetting anyone? But eventually it's going to come to a head where the police are just like, don't come out here anymore. Don't do this. Especially when there's that many police involved. And I'm just worried that these arrests are then going to create more of a situation where the system's overburdened already, and then they're adding all these new arrests onto an overburdened system. It's going to become a lot, and it's going to come down eventually to us as the individuals to cover the burden of this process, and that's not what the goal of this is. And I just, prior to the Occupy Wall Street thing, I was unhappy with the system. I don't know. I know we've talked about in the past where the whole corrections system, the legal system, the police department, how it's not set up properly, where they're arresting people for the wrong things. They're putting them through the process, and it's costing a lot of money for everybody. Now, on top of that, we have all these extra cops and all these extra situations that are arising from the occupation that is just creating more of a burden, and I'm worried that it's going to hurt the city even more. We're hiring more cops. We're letting go of more teachers. There is an imbalance here that I'm not happy with, and I'm sure if you preach to anyone in the city what the imbalance is, they're not happy either. The education system's flawed. The police system is flawed. Bloomberg is supposedly reforming both, but there's nothing going on. The police are becoming more brutal, more controlling, more upset with the people they're policing, and it's creating more of a strife or a conflict between not only the occupation is only bringing this out for most people. Like, it's only creating more of a media frenzy on it. And as that happens, more things are coming out. The falsification of arrests, the quotas,
it's interesting, like, on the internet you see a lot of these viral articles and pictures of police brutality, which you would think have happened recently, but they're really being unearthed from years ago, but it's just coming to attention now because of all the Occupy stuff.
Exactly. It's really bad timing for the police department, and they need to go into PR mode, and they're doing the exact opposite. They're cracking down more, they're arresting more, and it's, at this point, they should be backing off, not pushing harder. And with all the other things that are going, ticket fixing, falsification arrests, the quotas, everything that's going on, they should be backing off these people instead of pushing forward on them. And it's just, we're in like a police state at this point in New York City. And I'm just not happy with how it's creating more of a burden on the individuals, on the city, the parking tickets, the arrests. And all these things are just going to then come down, and I'm repeating myself, I feel, because you know when you get upset about something, it's hard to verbalize how upset you are. And this is where Joanne is good, I guess, in this situation, where she would just say, all right, what's the next step then?
And well, at what point does the military get involved? Or
well,
do they
come
ever,
on now, Jack. That's well, I don't even know if we have, I'm sure the New York City Police Department is bigger than our National Guard that is located in this state.
I mean, not necessarily New York. I mean, in general. I mean,
well, in other places like Oakland, I think...
Because I imagine it's going to get worse in other places than it is in New York.
Well, it's already happening. You know, like, yeah, with the situation in Oakland, that's a lot. That kind of violence that's just happening constantly is something that is not really beneficial for anybody, let alone the police, the protesters, anyone. Like, we don't want that anywhere. And for that to happen in New York, I think something would have to really change dramatically from what's going on at this point. I think that the police really need to change up their mentality on this. Like, the brutality, the excessive force, the things that are going on at this point are not really making the situation better. They're creating more of a strife. They're creating more of a bad publicity for them. And it's just frustrating to me. I'm going to take a break, refocus my thoughts, and we'll be back in a second.
Thing, rolling the mid beside him now, living my life, getting our dreams. People told me slow my roll, I'm screaming out, fuck that. I'ma do just what I want, looking ahead, no turning back. If I fall, if I die, know I lived it to the fullest. If I fall, if I die, know I lived in missing bullets. I'm on the pursuit of happiness, and I know everything that shine ain't on.
All right, and we're back. That is one of my favorite songs right now, because I really like to get that mantra going, because a lot of things are upsetting me. And I don't know if you've heard me speak for the last year on this radio show about I don't come off as the happiest guy, so I need that little mental break every once in a while to...
But off the air, you're very pleasant.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Jack.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for backing me up on that, in case anyone was worried about that. So, yeah, then, you know, I was just talking to you guys in the break, and Carlos brought to my attention an article in the New Yorker about how the Tea Party and the Occupiers, how similar they are in their start, but what the next steps are. To finish up on the, and we'll get to that in a second, I just want to finish up on the police and how I think that there needs to be some sort of reform at this point, because what's going on is, it's not good for the city. It's not good for our image, the city's image. It's not good for the police's image. It's not good for the city citizens, because everyone's afraid of the cops at this point. Because it, right now, with the, there's also this, stop and search, whatever it's called, on top of the brutality and all the other falsifications. And it's just like, I think at this point we should contract the amount of police we have in the city and open it up to more efficient, effective police working than the quotas and the ticketing and, you know, making cops feel a burden to make arrests instead of just keeping the peace. Keeping the peace and making arrests are two completely different things, and one does not always benefit the other, and vice versa. And the arrest process is expensive for the city, for the residents, because it costs overtime. The legal system is overburdened with ridiculous arrests, and that's all being funded by the citizens. And it's not making anyone feel safer at this point. I feel like we've passed that point. The city's in going in the right direction, and I think at this point we should be backing off of the over-policing, then keeping it up and pushing it forward.
Truth.
Then, so now let's get to the occupiers and what the next steps are. I think the main problem with the occupation is they're non-political. They are apolitical. That's their contention. That's their beliefs.
You know, and even on this show, you know, I won't say who the guest was, but after the show, one of the guests, I said, what do you think of this piece of legislation? And he was like, legislation? Are you kidding me? Who cares about legislation? We need government overtake.
That can't happen. A lot of these folks are probably thinking that as well. I am sure that the Tea Party thinks the same thing. We need to just take the government over and start fresh. And that's just not feasible. That's not plausible at this point, and it would just set us back decades, centuries, whatever. That's not a possibility. The only way to actually correct the problem is through legislation, changing up the system. And it will be a long-term process, but like the occupation, they need to actually, they're so broad in their ideas and what their demands are that they cross political parties. And what should be the main driving focus is changing the politicians as they come along and making politicians conform to their ideals and not conform to the politicians' weak offerings of what ideals are. And to say, you know, this isn't working. I'm not voting for you. I know you're offering me some weak jobs deal, but that's not actually what I want. And trying to conform to what they're offering, we need to impose what we want out there on them and have them actually represent the people at this point.
Most people are only voting in presidential elections.
Well, I think at this point, this will change.
Hopefully.
I think with the amount of response that we're having across the country, across the world, these things are popping up everywhere, that it will affect some further change in more smaller local elections, up to state and federal congressmen, councils, whatever the differing states are. There has to be reform across the board. And they need to come up with ideas that are going to actually affect change. And I know they're just, right now they're just saying we just hate banks and we hate corporations. But the change to control or make these banks conform to certain regulations and things like that, there has to be some sort of legislation put into place. And I don't think this occupation isn't, I don't know if they're going to generate those ideas. And I don't think they're going to have that political arm to them where it's going to be lobbying or create or a political like think tank where it's going to create some new legislation for the government to enact and then actually...
Well, they have to at some point.
But
otherwise...
But the problem is it's so far-reaching and people have different demands, but they all have this common enemy. And that's great, but like the differing demands will create differing regulations that are going to maybe not represent certain portions of the occupation, but other portions. And this may be the ultimate problem that the occupation is going to face because the differentiation of all the different ideas that they're trying to get enacted, it's going to be the downfall.
Right. Well, you know, people need to realize that change.
Exactly. So I think what they'll have to do is come up with their own ideas and make the occupiers and the people who are in there.
Like we saw on the right side, you know, you have congressmen, you have senators who then piggyback the ideas of the Tea Party and they're being voted in to the House on these premises, and then they're voting on bills with that Tea Party agenda. So if we get politicians on whatever side piggybacking mm-hmm. on some of the ideas from Occupy, that is change. No,
I agree, it would be change, but to come up with those ideas when there are probably Tea Party individuals, there are probably a few maybe in the occupation who agree with a lot of things. Like I guess I'd be considered libertarian. I'm all about social rights, do whatever you want, and I'm a little bit fiscally conservative. I don't know if you noticed, I'm not a big spending government kind of guy. I hate old people and poor people and all that other stuff, as we've talked about over the year, and my ideas have come out. And you know, I don't actually believe those things because that's just irrational, but it's becoming that stigmatizing or polarizing figure. But you know, it's hard to match what free-thinking liberals are thinking to what a libertarian would think. And they're both out there in the occupation. Like, those are some of the major groups that are represented. And for the two of them to meet up on an ideal, it will be difficult.
True.
And I think that's one of the problems with the occupation is just there's so many diverse people in the party or in the group.
But you know, something like that $5 charge being reversed from Bank of America, that's a victory for everybody.
But that's a corporate initiative, and it's not like the
sure,
bank
but
can't
similar things
the
can
federal
be
government couldn't
through,
regulate that, whereas
similar things can be achieved through legislation.
There are some fiscal things that could be used to control, but then what's going to happen when there are social or moral or ethical ideas that are going to be breached by a politician saying what's your stance on this, and that may create dichotomy or create differentiation within the group, and that it could splinter the group, and that's what I'm worried about. And that's where I'm like a lot of the regulations, corporate regulations that everyone's agreeing upon, yeah, those are easy because the corporations are so out there right now, they're doing whatever they want, they're multinational, they're global.
I'll tell you this. I mean, this is a little off topic, sorry, but this is my opinion. I've been thinking this the whole time. I think Obama's political machine is so smart and so clever, they will find a way to capitalize on this, and it's going to turn into a big push to reelect Obama.
Well, he has to capitalize on this because
he will.
It's a very democratic. It's definitely democratic in strength in the party, in the occupation, and we all know that. And then that's why the Republicans are saying this is, you know, Obama's stormtroopers on the ground, and they're occupying and doing what they want to do. But it's easy to turn that into Obama getting reelected, but what is he going to do once it's actually and he's back in office again? Is he going to be able to get these things done? Which is a question that I have. A lot of people who are down there already have is nothing's getting done. Like nothing he's doing is getting done. The only thing I did hear recently was Obama said that if they did not come up with a fiscal budget in like the next round of negotiations that they would be cutting defense funding by 25%. And I'm amazed by that concept, because that would just free up so much capital for the rest of the government to utilize for other programs, for Social Security, for Medicaid, for all these other things that are going to be, that would be fantastic, because right now defense spending is 50, 40% of our overall federal budget, and to cut that by 25%, that would free up so much money and would also help with the debt ceiling and cutting down and creating a balanced budget and all these other things. And I am totally with that, and I am happy if they don't actually come up with a budget that works for both the Democrats and the Republicans and becomes bipartisan. Fantastic. If they're cutting defense, great. Don't come up with a budget and then do it next time around and whatever. I don't even care at that point, because it's just going to create so much change across the board. Great. But I think Obama really needs to step up and stop cowtailing, which is what the occupiers were doing. And he needs to take that momentum that they're creating. And if he can get in front of this, great, because he needs to do something to affect change. He spoke about it 3 years ago at this point, about change, and nothing's changed. And now people have taken it upon themselves, all these people were waiting for it, to do it themselves. And he needs to get in front of it and take on these ideals and actually affect change. Or, you know what? I can't say you impeach him. Because, at what point do you, right now we're 70% is not happy with the way Congress is being run, government is being run.
Let's start with Congress.
Exactly. But, we need a strong leader at this point to say, you know what? Screw this.
He's doing what he can with the executive order lately. I mean, he's kind of taken that page out of Clinton's playbook.
Exactly.
And putting through these little tiny executive order changes. And
which are fantastic. But, it's just, they're not broad sweeping, and the things that people want change. Well, no, that's a problem. He needs to step up and get in front of everyone and be like, this is what we need to do at this point. It's we need to really create change.
At the end of the day, though, this is politics.
At this point,
a political cycle. And
but, Jack, at this point, we're at the New Deal level. We're going through a recession/depression. Unemployment's going to probably remain the same this month as it was last month. We're going to find out tomorrow.
Probably be pretty close next year, too.
I know, and I don't think nothing's changing. Europe's in shambles. Our stock market's going up and down every day. Brokers are making a shit ton more money every day because they're shorting and selling and buying and doing whatever they do every day to make money, whereas everyone else is losing money or making money, and then there's no real change effective for anyone. And until there is some real serious change going on where people can get behind it and the government and the country are really growing and repairing themselves and creating some real strong leadership for the rest of the world to follow, there's nothing's going to happen. We're going to keep staying in this state of flux where one day we're down, one day Europe's up. Then that has a cause and effect on our economy, our stock markets, until things are really, really tied up and tightened up and things are back to the way they were, where everyone was regulated and watched and controlled and these bankers weren't able to do whatever they want.
Well, most importantly, everybody was making money.
Now they are. Or 10 years ago, but
right.
Everyone's making money forever. It's the amount of money they're making now, which is just egregious. They took it from one level to a whole nother level. Their incomes have increased 2 to 3 times what everyone else's have, and it's just not even fair. It's not in line with the society as general and as a norm in general, and there needs to be more balance. There needs to be more structure. There needs to be more regulation. There shouldn't be this kind of dichotomy between one faction of the country and the rest of the country. And that's what really needs to be changed. And unless he actually starts taking some of these ideas and making serious changes, these executive orders are good, but they're not the regulations that were put in place in the first place to control these guys. Greed is too strong of a factor. And unfortunately, it's infected the government as well as the financial sector. And they've fed on us. And now it's time to take the government back for the people, and
this for a unifying theme for the occupiers? Money out of politics. I feel like everybody kind of agrees on that.
But how do you take it out?
I don't know.
Look at the presidents. Honestly, I read an article the other day. All of them are in the 1%. Every one of them makes, I don't know about all of them, but at least the Republican candidates, I think 6 out of the 8 people who are up right now are in the 1%. And then the other 2 out of 8 or whatever are making $400,000 a year between political speeches or public speeches
books,
and their books, whatever it is. And, Obama's making about $6 million a year now with his book rights and his presidential salary and all the packages. And that separation between the people because they're more in line with the financial people at this point than they are with the regular people, and that needs to change. And that has to start down with the representatives. But the problem is, representatives are making more than their constituents, and that's not, people are losing their perspective, and that's a problem. And perspective and accountability is what we really need to get back to, and that has been lost on this government society in the last like 20 years. We're too ADD, need responses now, more money, more this, more that, as quickly as possible, and it's not working. And I think this slow process of the occupation will help give perspective as people stay there and keep going and keep staying there and keep occupying and getting their voices heard. I think it will affect change, but what the elected officials do with that is really the next step, and how they get behind the elected official and make sure their voice is continued to heard once they're elected is what they have to figure out at this point, because we have about a year now. I think Tuesday's a year from Tuesday, and we really need to focus after we solidify the occupation across the country. You really need to start focusing on how we can affect change with what kind of regulations that would cover everyone's really differing opinions of what needs to happen, and focus in on controlling the difference between the rich and the poor. And I hope I wasn't blabbering or mambering or stuttering or carrying on too much. I think I repeated myself about 7 times, and Joanne's probably going to yell at me. I appreciate
you did a damn good job.
I think you guys. I appreciate your support, Jack. Carlos, thanks for asking me that question, but not actually getting on the air. One of these days, we're going to get you on the air, Carlos.
You can hear me now.
There we go.
The first time ever.
There it is. Thank you very much, Carlos, for joining in. There you go. Guys, I'm going to sign off. Have a good day, and I'll talk to you next week.